84 degrees in downtown Denver. Very nice and pleasant for this Friday, September 29th, 2023. Hope you're having a great day so far and you have a great weekend planned. Anybody out there going peeping? And I don't mean that way, Jim. Leaf peeping? Supposed to be spectacular right now. Staff and Tubbs, Jim Nichols at the controls. Big football game tonight, Prairie View at Brighton. Jim's going to be with us for an hour, and he's going to go cheer on his son. Awesome stuff. And by the way, thank you to any of you who did take our advice to vote at the 9 News, Narcan 9 Sports Desk. Jim, they voted it in, didn't they?
Yes.
That's the game of the week.
Yes, they did, and we won by 51. We had a 51%. I think it was 51, 35, and 15 or something like that.
You know, 51% will win you the presidency.
That's true.
Awesome job. So Jim's at the controls. Lori Kelman in the newsroom. We're on until just before 7 o'clock tonight. We've got two great guests in studio as part of the farewell tour coming up at the bottom of the hour. I can just hear it. Because I know I see some of you. You can't stand this guy. I see some of you all the time. You can't stand me. So it's going to be twofer. It's a two for one. My longtime friend, political strategist, he's been around politics in Colorado a long time, probably longer than you. Dick Wadhams will join us as part of said farewell tour coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then at 5 in studio, and this is no BS, one of the most popular guests that I've ever had on this program in nearly 6 years. He's been in studio with us twice. Do you remember Sean? What have you learned?
Time. Time is important. Take time. When does your son sit down and take time? You have two sons, right?
Yep.
Take every chance you get. You take a couple minutes. I don't care if it's 1, 2, 3. Time. Take time with your loved ones. You don't know when it's going to be gone. Time. Take time with your daughter. Take time with your wife. Take time with your mom. Your brothers. Time. I don't remember exactly waking up. I don't remember going to sleep. I kind of remember yesterday. Take time. It's all up to you. At the end of the day, it's all that you make out of it. I promise you that. It could be... Somebody could tell you this is your last step. It is if you let it be. That's it.
I'll tell you what. That was a segment, a little minute plus. The first time I think Sean was on with us. Sean, a stroke survivor. Sean from Parker. He's going to be in studio and update us on how he's doing medically. If you've never heard me talk about Sean from Parker, he had a massive stroke. This guy is like type A personality. He's traveling the country. His job is more important than his family, though not really in his heart, but that's what he acts like. He's an alcoholic. He's drinking. He has a massive stroke. They thought he was going to be dead. And he wakes up, and he has no memory. No memory of his wife, no memory of his family, no memory of his children. And he has become just one of my dear friends in, gosh, still less than a full year that I've actually known this man. But I am so happy, and I'm so proud of this guy. I mean, he's just a fighter. Sean will join us in studio coming up at 5 o'clock as part of the farewell tour. Many ways to get in touch with us and to take part in this not only radio program, but this radio station. Our number 303-696-1971. Text the studio via the free to download app, via the app or the website. You can listen live stream potentially wherever you are on this planet. Thank you to our potential live stream global audience. Of course, commercial break free podcast every hour of every show put up. And we are on social media at Tubbs Show, T-U-B-B-S Show. I have ragged on her, ripped on her many, many times over nearly 6 years. She passed today. California Senator Dianne Feinstein died today. She was 90.
The Senate held a moment of silence for Dianne Feinstein, her desk draped in black, as colleagues from both sides of the aisle pay tribute to the California Democrat.
We look at that desk and we know what we have lost. But we also give thanks. Thanks to someone so rarefied, so brave, so graceful a presence.
Dianne was a trailblazer in her beloved home state of California, and our entire nation are better for her dogged advocacy and diligent service.
The morning before her death, Feinstein was still at work.
Now, Dianne Feinstein, obviously senator from California, when I met her for the first time, I was in college, and she had just run unsuccessfully for California governor. Many of you know her ties to San Francisco and her probably, depends on how you look at it, infamous soundbite that Harvey Milk had been assassinated, a supervisor in the city of San Francisco in the late 1970s. But I met Dianne Feinstein as she was on a tour of the state trying to have a successful bid in a special election to become a member of the United States Senate. And that was in 1992. And she came through our college town, my college town of San Luis Obispo, California. Go Cal Poly Mustangs. And I remember distinctly the few words after I had interviewed her. She did a part of what we were asking all of these political candidates to do when we put a montage together. And this was, again, 1992. So unfortunately, I have no record of it, but I have it in my memory. I'll never forget. She was part of the montage of all of these politicians and introducing themselves. And it was part of our station, my college radio station's promotion of our election coverage. And I'll never forget this. She answered, or she said, you know, we said, hey, you know, how about you just say your name and whatever. And I'll never forget her recording. I stood there with my little recorder in college and she says, "Hi, everybody. I'm Dianne Feinstein." And I can still hear that less than 4 seconds in my mind. "Hi, everybody. I'm Dianne Feinstein." And then she would go on to be in the United States Senate. Some of her politics, again, rest in peace. She was, you see all over, you see Hickenlooper, you see Diana DeGette, you see Michael Bennett, you see all of them using the same words that, frankly, if we had lost a champion in the Republican Party, we would say, and that would be trailblazer, this, that, or the other. And she did. She did do that. I think she was in the United States Senate 15 years too long. How about 12? How about 12? So rest in peace, Dianne Feinstein. Lightening things up before we do an abbreviated early week in review feature. Our Friday Homestretch film review tonight. It's actually, there's a funny. I didn't know it until about 40 minutes ago when I came in and Jim told me. From 1982, a John Carpenter film starring Kurt Russell, a very furry-faced Kurt Russell, The Thing.
...100,000 years ago, it found its way into our galaxy. Trapped in the frozen wasteland of Antarctica, it could not escape. Now the men of Station 4 have made a monumental discovery. An alien creature had frozen, but not to death.
It's all I can take, Jim. The Thing from 1982. I don't know what we do, Jim, to get into this. Do you remember this scene? If you watched it with us this week, or if you watched it earlier, like, say, between now going back to 1982, do you remember this scene?
Clear.
Ah! Oh, that was a little graphic. Jim has a cute little story about that scene. Jim, I sent you the clips, and was it about lunchtime?
It was about lunchtime. I started downloading these clips, and... I had just gotten back from King Soopers with some King Soopers grocery store sushi.
Grocery store sushi.
It's actually fairly decent. They do a really good job. But anyway, it's
Jim's review of King Soopers grocery store sushi, and anyway, I quote, it was fairly decent.
It was fairly decent. Anyway,
and then?
So I started recording this clip, and I was like, I don't think I could eat this anymore. And it wasn't the visual.
Clear.
It was the... That.
So like the sound?
The sound. Yeah. It's in the fridge for later.
Let me ask you this.
What's that?
Since that moment midday, have you since eaten the fairly decent grocery store sushi?
No, it'll go home with me. I'll eat it later.
All right, prediction on the big game tonight, by the way.
Big game. I'm thinking it's going to be a close game because both teams are 3-2. Both teams are coming at it because it's a huge rival.
Nationally televised on Narcan 9.
From 2006 when Prairie View first started, they split. And that's, I guess, where the rivalry started.
Oh.
So Brighton kids went to Prairie View and they decided they didn't like each other. So I'm like, go get them.
What's Prairie View's mascot?
Thunderhawks.
Go Thunderhawks.
Yes, sir.
All right. And Jim will be with us. Oh, brother, absolutely. I wish you, your son, the best tonight. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. I told you we have my longtime friend. I just love this guy. Dick Wadhams. He's in studio coming up at the bottom of the hour through 5 o'clock. So we're going to do an abbreviated early, although I don't know if it's really going to be abbreviated. We've got so much terrific sound from the last week. It is time.
The sounds from the stories in the spotlight this week. Stephan's Friday Replay on News Talk 710 KNUS.
10, 32, White going deep. Oh, he's got chosen!
Dolphins are in that company.
That's regular season. Second down and two. A-chain, big hole. Turns it on, accelerating. You can kiss him goodbye. 69 points.
You said it's embarrassing, but this has kind of been a historic game.
I'm more.
Third time the team has scored 70 points over 700.
What's the question? What's the question?
How do you feel about it being,
I just finished telling you.
Historically embarrassing.
Next question.
Whose kids are kids?
Whose kids
are kids?
What do we want?
Action.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
Now!
If you look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. with the current congressman from CD4, this state needs a Republican leader who can carry the torch for Colorado Republicans. This state does not need a congressman who is out there trying to get on CNN and MSNBC and try to be a politico for the liberal left. And it bothers me when I turn on my TV in my hometown, Akron, Colorado, in Washington County, and I see my Congressman Ken Buck placating and talking to the liberal left and pandering to them. You cannot believe how disruptive that is as a state Republican and a state leader in the House Republican.
Stephan's Friday Replay on 710 KNUS.
What is the most significant national security threat and public safety threat to the American people in this country? And that is our common enemy, the Mexican cartels. After retiring from the Texas Department of Public Safety, I was so frustrated that what was not getting out about their evolution, I decided to do it publicly myself. And so today I am on your border every other week, riding with law enforcement, trying to illuminate their activities and the impact.
Yeah, the first time they threatened to come after me and kill me was when I posted the video that many of you have seen. It went viral all over the world of Cartel Jalisco New Generation's elite group for the first time.
Yep.
And the reason they were upset about that is because it really showed their capability and that a lot of their capability was much more than even federal law enforcement in Mexico possessed. And look, here's the thing. I'm not going to fear these people.
The U.S. intelligence agency should be briefing you. They do not fear you. They fear their rivals.
Our citizens deserve so much better than what they've been receiving from the Homeland Security enterprise. This should have never been allowed to take place. What these cartels have gotten away with in Mexico, killing over 300,000 of their citizens since 2007 and in some of the most brutal fashions that you can imagine. The killing now of 111,355 Americans to overdoses in this country in just a 12-month.
When they tell you that our borders are secure, it's a lie. It's an intentional lie. When they tell you that illegal immigration has no downside, that illegal immigration has no harm, that illegal immigration does not cause bad things, it's a lie.
There's a lot of things. Here's what I fear the most is, here's what I fear is going to happen, I should say, for us to change course. My fear is that we're going to have another large-scale terrorist attack where thousands of Americans die. I'm concerned that that's what it's going to take before we wake up. Because after 70 years of our borders being wide open, that's what it took in 9/11. It was the first time in our nation's history where everybody unified and said, oh, wow, borders matter. Maybe we should secure them. And then as the years ticked by, we've become complacent. We forgot about it. We lost our vigilance. And now we're right back to where we were. We're worse now than when we were prior to 9/11.
Stephens Friday replay on 710 KNUS.
100 meters to go. The crew being told to brace for touchdown.
Object getting close to touchdown.
Object. Touchdown. Touchdown confirmed at 6:17 a.m. Central Time. Rubio's record ride comes to an end.
Getting used to gravity again after more than a year in space, 371 days to be exact, is a major challenge, but Frank Rubio says he and his two Soyuz crewmates are feeling about as good as could be expected.
This will mark the first court appearance for Senator Menendez as since he was indicted last week. A short time ago, he did arrive here at the federal courthouse with his wife, Nadine, who is also charged, by the way. So we know that the senator has maintained his innocence.
At least 10 times, Joe Biden lied to the American people that he never spoke to his family about their business dealings. He lied by telling the American people that there was an absolute wall between his official government duties and his personal life.
If the Republicans had a smoking gun or even a dripping water pistol, they would be presenting it today, but they've got nothing on Joe Biden.
America has the safest, most complex aviation system in the world, and maintaining that safety record takes a lot of work. When aircraft have to taxi through a zone that puts them close to the approach onto a runway, that is a hazard. That can be.
I've received many, many compliments and a lot of write-ons from people who have had enough of this. I think it was remarkable. The Denver Post was there, took pictures, sent a reporter, but they didn't run a story. I think
shocking.
They realized that would be victim shaming of the poor unhoused. Yes, we care greatly about the thousands of people, up to 5,000 people who are unhoused here. But what about the million or 2 million people in the metro area who are the victims of this? If the city officials cared one-tenth about the victims of the crimes as they do about the people who perpetrate the crimes, maybe this would end.
This is a historic week for Denver, because for the first time, we were able to close an encampment and move 83 individuals from homelessness directly into transitional supportive housing. So we have now closed that encampment around 7th and 8th and Grant and Logan, and that is a site we will now keep closed to future camping with the knowledge that those individuals that were there, we were able to transition off of the streets and into housing.
Stephens Friday replay on 710 KNUS.
Social media apps that we could have. And what you've got, I honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say, because I can't believe TikTok situation.
You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
What a gift. What a gift that I get to pull this out. Ask all of you to get closer. The authors of this bill, Tia, come on closer.
You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck. You're ducking these things. And let me tell you what's going to happen. You keep doing that, no one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
But them's the breaks.
Outstanding job, Jim Nichols, our week in review. We'll take a timeout when we come back. The farewell tour rolls on. Dick Wadhams, longtime political strategist and someone who's dedicated his life, a lot of it, to public service. Dick Wadhams in studio, coming up next on 710 KNUS. Midway through the 4 o'clock hour. Thank you so much on a Friday. I hope you have a great weekend planned. And in all seriousness, if you do get up to the high country, drive safely. It's supposed to be, boy, that was a quick ending to that. Drive safely. Very, 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 very beautiful time of year for the leaf peeping, if you will, in the high country in Colorado. Stephen Tubbs, Jim Nichols at the controls. More of Lori's news coming up in about 15 minutes. We're really lucky, I think. He's been so good to me for darn near like 25 years. I have known our guest, who is now in studio, part of the farewell tour. Please welcome in Dick Wadhams. Dick Wadhams, Stephen Tubbs. Some people out there, Dick, would go, oh, God, not those guys again.
There you go.
Those two rhinos or whatever.
There you go.
What are you up to, my man?
You know, I have several little projects. I write a column for the Colorado Springs and Denver Gazette newspapers. And ColoradoPolitics.com. I do some work with Sean Boyd at Channel 4. Have some other clients that I do some consulting with. So that's what I do.
What is wrong with the state GOP?
Well,
do you have an hour?
Yeah, really. I don't think they're focused on the right things. But listen, the current regime is in power for 2 years, and I don't think it's going to amount to much, but we'll see what happens.
You have no idea the questions I'm going to ask you, and I want to go back to when you and I really started working together closely, and that was sadly in April of 1999 around Columbine and a newly elected governor in Bill Owens. Did you see, though, before we get to that?
Mm-hmm.
Carrie Lake is the GOP, yeah. Colorado State GOP keynoter in November.
Yes.
I ripped on it yesterday. I'll rip on it again today. Is this the unity that we're looking for?
Oh, my Lord. I mean, I wasn't surprised. And yet when I heard the announcement, Stefan, I thought, I can't believe it. She is the epitome of the stolen election conspiracy crowd, and she's ridiculous is what she is. But that's who they've got.
Any memories of Dianne Feinstein? Did you ever cross paths with her?
Not really. No. You know, I worked in the Senate for a long time and worked in Washington in the Senate over 8 years total. But she was quite the presence. I mean, I do remember you were talking earlier about the assassination of Harvey Milk.
Right.
And I remember that vividly. I mean, that was a big deal.
Yeah, I didn't know how to and I didn't pull it. Yeah. You know, I didn't do that. But, you know, she had, I don't know if it's accurate to say, this was like an infamous soundbite. I mean, it was, you know, I remember here, you know, she talks about Harvey Milk, the supervisor in the city of San Francisco or the county of San Francisco that had been assassinated. And you hear when she makes the announcement, you hear the gasps of the crowd. Yeah. And this is obviously decades before social media and all of that. But that, I mean, that soundbite in particular has had to be played millions of times.
Yeah, no doubt. No, that was a tragic moment. And but it propelled her career. I mean, not to. It really did. I mean, that allowed her to go on to do the things she did. So,
Dick Wadhams is our guest, part of our farewell tour, not counting today. After today, 24 more programs. In fact, 5 weeks from today, we will say goodbye and have plenty of incredible guests from now until the end. And coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, one of my favorite, one of the most popular guests based on texts coming to the studio, in addition to Dick Wadhams. Sean from Parker, Sean, the stroke survivor, he's in studio with us at five. So you and I, over the years, we've kind of always looked back at April of 1999 as the time where I really got to know you and you got to know me. And I had just left KOA a year prior, in early 1998, moved to Los Angeles, become a correspondent with ABC News. And then I'll never forget the morning of April 19th, 1999. I saw at my office in Los Angeles the scroll across our AP bulletin, you know, shooting at a Colorado high school. Before I come back and get into the picture with you, what was your day like that day?
You know, it was a normal day at the state capitol. Stefan, I was the press secretary to the governor of Colorado, Bill Owens. And the legislature was in session. It was really busy, but kind of a normal day. And I had left the Capitol at noon to go do a couple of errands, and my deputy called me and said, "You need to get back here right away. The governor wants you guys in his office right away. There's been a shooting at Columbine." And I'm thinking, okay, that's a shooting at Columbine. That's horrible, but you
don't know the gravity of it.
So by the time I drove in and got into his office, we had gotten reports from the Colorado State Patrol that it was really bad, that a bunch of kids were being probably killed. And then it was just the day went on from there. And one of the more poignant parts of that day, Stefan, was Governor Owens and his wife, First Lady Frances Owens, went out to Leawood Elementary School, which is not too far from Columbine. That, by the way, that's where my two kids went to elementary school.
So
I live in that neighborhood.
That was the reunification, wasn't it, one of the schools?
Yes, it was. That's where they brought the kids to reunify with their parents. And I tell you what, that was a powerfully emotional afternoon, because you had all these parents waiting to see if their kids were going to come back. And Bill and Frances just kind of comforted them and talked to them. Not everybody had a cell phone back then, remember?
Right.
And I had my cell phone in my hand, and parents kept coming up to me asking to borrow my phone, which of course I did, because they were going to call their house to see if their kid had gotten home or not. It was, I'll tell you what, by the time we left there, we were all emotionally drained. It was really powerful.
Yeah. How do you go into, as press secretary, this is something that none of us had ever seen, obviously, to that magnitude. Like, how do you figure out what to do with the governor?
Well, one of the things I learned is that when something like that happens, all eyes are on the governor. Governor Dick Lamb, former Governor Lamb and former Governor Roy Romer both called Bill and said, "You are really at the focal point. You are the father of Colorado right now. You and Frances are essentially the first parents now, and you have a special responsibility." And they performed that role beautifully. And Bill was – we did a lot of media that week.
I mean,
from 5 a.m. because of the Eastern time zone till, 10 at night. And including talking to the ABC radio news reporter, Stephen Tubbs, several times.
Yeah.
I remember talking to you several times that week. But it was a powerful week and emotionally draining every day.
How long had he been – Dick Wadhams, our guest. How long had he been in office? Not too long.
He was sworn in the fourth day of January, and that happened April 20th. So we had just really found the bathrooms in the Capitol.
Yeah.
I mean, we were really new. But I think that really propelled him, Stefan, that he became the governor of Colorado that week. I mean, he was officially the governor all the time. But I think the way he the dignity and that he handled himself that week and in his role as governor, I think really solidified him that week. So.
Dick Wadhams, our guest until the top of the hour. I guess going to the break, I just want to prove that my ego is in check. I got to share this story that I just shared with you off the air. Is that okay?
You bet.
This is not to mock the time in which we are talking, and that is, the middle to end part of April 1999. But, Dick, you were wonderful to work with, and I got, as part of being a national guy, I got through you at least 15, 20 minutes inside the Capitol, inside the governor's office, and a one-on-one interview with Bill Owens. And this is the worst thing that it was my very first time. Not that this matters, but it did for me personally. I loved my time from 94 to 98 in Colorado, and I had just come off of covering the bombing trials, and then did a Broncos Super Bowl. They win. And then after that parade, I left for a national job. I had not been back to Colorado until April 19th, 1999. And a few days later, I get the interview with the governor. And this is just to make me look bad because it was so stupid. I don't go anywhere really without a Sharpie, a black Sharpie. And I just shared this story with you. It exploded during my interview with Bill Owens, and I didn't know it. And I looked down and my hands are covered. It's at the end of the interview. We posed for a photo that I think you took, and I get that photo back. I think I had to develop it. This was not a photo on a cell phone.
No.
There is a huge black smudge over my left, like corner of my left eye. And I'm like thinking to myself, this is so horrible. But the entire time interviewing the governor of Colorado, he's been looking at me, probably his press secretary is over there laughing that I've got ink all over my face.
You know, it's that, I don't remember.
Okay,
that.
Thank God.
But I think, you know what? I'll bet you that week was, we were so diverted that I think.
I know, and this means
you could
nothing.
Have worn a funny hat. We probably would have noticed
right.
What you had on because. It was there was so much going on, but that's a great story.
I'm glad that you are, and Mr. Owens, who's still a friend today, I'm glad you don't remember. When we come back, I want to ask, we'll get traffic, weather, and news with Lori. When we come back, I want to ask Dick Wadhams, how long until there may be another Republican governor, even if it's not like Bill Owens, someone with an R in front of their name? I'll tell you how I feel. We'll get the expert opinion. That comes up next as we continue our farewell tour with Dick Wadhams right here on 710 KNUS. 47 minutes after 4 o'clock, we continue our farewell tour with a very good man, Dick Wadhams. And what is like? What would be on your business card today, like your title?
Oh, I guess.
Consultant. Political consultant.
I guess so.
So you and I really worked closely, and I'm still, you know, 24 years later plus, so thankful and in your debt for the way, you know, you treated me when I came back as not a local guy, but after Columbine. But Bill Owens gets reelected,
mm-hmm.
two-term Republican governor, and since then, no. And how about in the future? Are we anywhere close to possibly getting, after Jared Polis's term limited, a Republican governor in this state, you think?
You know, if somebody had told me that Bill Owens would be the only Republican governor in 50 years,
crazy,
I would say no way. We're going to do better than that. Stephan, Colorado is in a very bad place right now, politically. We've had 800,000 people move to Colorado in the last decade. That's why we got a new 8th congressional seat.
Mm-hmm.
But these are younger, they're more liberal voters. They, frankly, they hate Donald Trump. And that's just the brutal truth. And right now they see the Republican Party through the lens of Donald Trump. Now, I voted for Trump twice. I loved he did so many wonderful things. I think he squandered that legacy by the way he has behaved. But the brutal truth is, as long as we are in the shadow of Donald Trump in Colorado, we will not elect anybody to statewide office.
How long does the maybe a better way to put it, how long is the shadow that has been cast?
Well, then that's the question, because if he becomes president again, which there is a strong possibility that could happen against Joe Biden, then we're just going to be mired in this situation. If he is not elected president, I think that will start moving people into the future. And that will depend on what kind of candidates we nominate. Now, I've heard from many people in my party, we need to nominate tougher candidates, more Trump-like candidates, and we'll win. And Trump lost Colorado by 14 points to Joe Biden. The fact is that Bill Owens, even though he was elected a long time ago and was governor a long time ago, he is still the guy that people should take a look at. The agenda that he laid out that really talked to people's what they wanted in a governor. They wanted strong schools, and they wanted better roads, and they wanted tax cuts. Well, that's what Owens did. And this is not rocket science, in my opinion. You just have to have a clear agenda that people can identify with.
Well, you think as well. Think how the messaging from Jared Polis's Capitol. Think how much just 180 degrees from Bill Owens. Abortion. Mm-hmm. Having Colorado be, you know, the end of this underground railroad, bring us your tired, your poor, your women who want abortions. I don't know. I think it's going to be another generation.
It might be. I mean, in fact, I'm probably overly optimistic we might be competitive in 2026. And that's when Governor, AG, all the offices are up again. We're just in a bad place, and so many people in my party do not understand how Colorado has changed, and it's going to take a special kind of Republican to get us back into a competitive situation.
Do you see anybody, I want to move on, but sure. Do you see anybody on the horizon right now that is that, quote, I think you just said, special kind of Republican?
Well, I got to tell you, one of the things, the good news is, Paul Lundeen, the Senate Minority Leader, and Mike Lynch, the House Minority Leader from Greeley, they are really good. And I don't know that Mike wants to run for governor, but I think that Paul Lundeen would take it.
I think Mike Lynch would be a good
governor. They're both really excellent. They've done a great job under horrible circumstances as our leaders.
Yeah. Dick Wadhams is our guest, political consultant. So just because you have your ear to the ground a lot, if not always, Jared Polis, is he going to run for president?
I think he would never challenge President Biden. But if Biden withdraws from the race
or something happens,
I think he would be in the race in a minute. I really do.
In a minute.
Because it would be so wide open, Stefan. There is no logical successor other than, amazingly, Kamala Harris.
No, please no.
And you know why she's the odds-on favorite? I mean, because remember, Biden moved the South Carolina primary to first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Congressman Clyburn, the legendary congressman, he's already said she's my candidate if Biden doesn't run again. She wins the South Carolina primary.
Please no.
She's off to the races.
I call bull.
Oh, she's horrible.
She's. I don't know who would, honestly, between Biden and if you know, she is a heartbeat away, the cliche, heartbeat away from the, I think it would be even worse. And I can't stand Joe.
Yeah. Oh, I think she would be worse. Yeah. I totally agree with you. But
so, okay, this is kind of a loaded question in the few minutes we have left. But if, the huge if the Colorado State GOP would listen to you, what would they hear?
I think I would get off this stupid idea that the election was stolen from Donald Trump. Just knock it off. It was not stolen. Our election process is solid.
You're frustrated. This is a frustrating issue still, isn't it?
Oh, it is. The other thing is tomorrow morning in Castle Rock, the Colorado Republican State Central Committee is going to meet to once again try to cancel the Republican primary. I don't understand why we're doing that. And so because they don't like the fact that unaffiliated voters vote in our primaries under Proposition 108 from 2016. Stefan, 48% of our electorate is unaffiliated. That is a reality. It ain't going to go away. And we're going to say that 1.7 million unaffiliated voters, we don't want you participating in our primary.
Right.
And guess what will happen if they opt out of the primary? 1.7 million unaffiliated voters will get a Democratic ballot in the mail next year, but not a Republican ballot. What kind of message does that
send? It's not logical.
No.
So just to kind of hammer home what we know, but just in case, friends, you don't. The largest voting bloc in this state is unaffiliated.
48% of the electorate, 1.7 million. We only have about 930,000 Republicans. There are 1.2 million Democrats. To me, that is a reality you have to deal with.
Is there something that maybe a lot of maybe your Trump supporters and stolen election and January 6th mm-hmm. wasn't what it was, that you just don't want to admit that the state of Colorado in, as you mentioned in our first segment, in the course of about 10 years, a decade, that it so dramatically changed. And it's like you either you either believe it or you're in denial. But the fact of the matter is, once again, to hammer it home, the largest voting block in this state is the unaffiliated voter. Is it just that you just don't want to admit it?
Well,
I don't get it.
I guess so. And if we just hunker down and get more Trump-like and get more hardcore right-wing, we will win elections in Colorado. And I'm thinking Trump lost by four. Cory Gardner lost in 2020, remember?
Yes.
He lost by 9 points. Trump lost by 14 points. I've had people say to me, Stefan, well, if Cory had just run more like Trump, he would have won.
That's not true.
And I'm saying
it's not true.
So Trump loses by 14. Cory loses by 9, but if he had run more like Trump, he would have won. That's the logic some of these people have.
There's no logic there. Yeah. Real quick, Ken Buck has been in the news, and our friend of the program, the House Minority Whip, Richard Holtorf, a week ago today, told us in the 5 o'clock hour as I was live in D.C. that Ken Buck is the Liz Cheney of Colorado. What do you think personally is the future for Ken Buck?
Well, first of all, I like what Ken Buck's been doing lately. But I have not talked to Ken. I have no special information. But it appears to me that there's a good chance he might be leaving the House to take a job in
early.
The major media. So,
and if that is the case, special election.
Special election. Nobody is appointed to the U.S. House of Representatives. You have to have a special election. It'd be about, I think it's about a 90-day period once the resignation occurs. And that would be,
well, that'll
that
be,
would
smooth.
Be a wild
That'll
ride.
Be smooth sailing. There will be no, there will be no circus. There will be, You know what? We're pretty much out of time, but I just want to say to you as part of the farewell tour, I thank you so much for, you always return a text, you always return an email, you always return a voicemail, and you've been very good to me in parts of 4 decades here in Colorado, and I just want to thank you personally on the air.
Well, thank you, Stefan. I'm going to miss you on the air. I mean, I listen to all or part of your show every day, depending on what my schedule is. But I will tell you, you have been such a part of so much of what I've done professionally as a reporter who I've dealt with and as a talk show host. So I hate it that you're leaving.
So. I love you, man. Thank you, Dick.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
You bet.
Dick Wadhams, political consultant, longtime friend. We welcome another friend to the program straight ahead, Sean from Parker. He's in studio coming up next. Stay with us. News next.